This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Christine Wong.
We're talking about whether or not you've changed your job in the last 18 months. And if so, why not? If so, why? If not, why not? We're running a poll. We'll get to the numbers in just a few moments. But I have an update here on WhatsApp from Jason, who says, I've been working from home or hybrid for over 5 years now. It was already a norm for companies way before the pandemic. Meet only when it's necessary. Not for all companies, Jason.
Not for all of us, man.
We've kind of been working hybrid, 1 week in, 1 week off. And, you know, it's kind of been a bit of a blessing, I think. You know, mental health has been much better, I think.
Pros and cons to everything,
pros
really.
And cons to everything, yes. Mm-hmm. What about over on Instagram, Chris?
On Instagram, we've got a couple more responses here. Ocean WH says no pull factor. Nadia.jpg says COVID-19. I'm not sure whether it was a yes or no to the question. Zillin Y says creative industry is quite demanding. Chin Wei says because I'm afraid of changes. Peer Support News says last in, first out, better stay. Not Shafa Harrison says better offer, better experience, better self-growth and knowledge. Mizelle says complete burnout, clocking in 12 hours daily and working over the weekend since March. Oof, ouch.
Wow.
Nixon Saw says income. Why not get paid higher for the same amount of work that I get? Angeline HWL says, yes, higher pay. I waited throughout 2020 because of the pandemic, but 2021 came and I was like, I ain't waiting no more. Shahira says, yes, I was in a startup that was literally drowning. EPF not paid, salary on hold. Oof. And Jason LJY says, responsibilities in the front lines, but I'm thinking about quitting soon. Very tired.
Oh, dear.
We've got another one. Thaddeus TYC says, yes, a right opportunity came up in the industry I'm passionate in, so why not? But I am relocating overseas.
Well, you know, not a bad thing. Some ups and downs there.
Ups and downs?
Plenty of, you know. So we had 276 votes so far. 54% of you are in the same job. Mm-hmm. 20% of you have shifted job because you wanted to. 11% have shifted because you had to. Mm-hmm. 16% of you who've responded have said, no, you're unemployed. I'm sure something will come up. Right. Moving on to our third and final story of the day. Night markets and weekend traders over in PJ a little bit cautious over reopening, even though it's now allowed. The SS2 Pasar Malam Secretary, Li Peng Chen, said only 30% might resume operations this week. Here's a quote. About 10% of our traders are waiting to be inoculated with their second dose. However, we predict a smaller crowd due to the high number of daily cases. We need to ensure everything is in order, including obtaining information such as the digital cert from traders. We're required to pledge that we adhere to all the regulations set by the National Security Council, the MKN, of course. He added that the SS2 night market used to have about 656 lots prior to the pandemic, but now he estimates less than half would be open over the coming weeks. And Jasmine Lee from SS3 Pasar Malam also thinks that only 40% of traders would start operating this week. Another quote from Jasmine. RELA personnel will continue to be present to advise the public to follow the rules, such as to scan their MySajerta app, show their digital cert, wear their masks and not eat at the night market, he said. Jasmine hopes both traders and customers will follow the rules.
Yeah, he also added that we do not want a situation where people become lax just because they're vaccinated. And prior to the pandemic, the SS3 night market had about 300 stalls. But now Jasmine only expects about 60 will be trading. Vegetable sellers used to take up 5 lots. They'll now only be given a maximum of 2. He said, we're required to scale down the business to ensure there's enough spacing to enable better crowd control. Also, a Petaling Jaya City Council, MBPJ spokesperson from the licensing department, said that there are about 28 night market and weekend market spots in the city, and only 17 have responded with the required feedback. The spokesperson said, we asked them to sign the Aku Janji, or the pledge form, that they'll follow all the MKN rules, including limiting the number of visitors and operating at half capacity, and they can decide amongst themselves how they will do this. Also, another note that children below 12 are not allowed into the night and weekend market still as well.
There you go. That's what's come up in our stories for today. If you have missed any part of this show, don't forget you can listen back to the podcast wherever you normally listen to your shows from. We have been talking about, we started off the show with that story about how to raise your purchasing power, a whole bunch of options for you there. We then moved on to...
We then moved on to the job mismatch issues in Malaysia.
Wrapping up with low turnout is expected at the PJ night markets. And don't go anywhere, though, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is, hopefully, the Breakfast Grill replay. It's been 6 months since Myanmar's elected government was overthrown by the military. Scenes of chaos continue to be monitored with both violent and civil disobedient protests happening almost on a daily basis, with the military still in power. What hope is left for the National Unity Government, a government formed from the remnants of the exiled National League for Democracy, headed by Aung San Suu Kyi? That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. To take us up there, we've got Deep Purple with Black Knight here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.